Well, our theme for 2022 has been Begin Again. And if you're going to be here on Sunday, January 1st, we're going to take a little time for sharing and reflection so you can be thinking about how God used that theme this year, how you were able to begin again. But this is Christmas Eve. It's the conclusion of our 2022 Advent series. It's the conclusion of our year, really. Advent literally means the coming, and it's a time of building anticipation for Christmas, which is a celebration of Christ's coming. So because we had recently completed a series on the Gospel of John, someone challenged me. They said, why don't you do an Advent series on the Gospel of John? It sounded like a good idea. Thing I didn't realize is that the Gospel of John doesn't include any of the details of Jesus' birth. But John does talk a lot about Christ's coming. You see, John's more than just a historian. John is an artist. And John tells us the story of Christ's coming through images. John uses lots of imagery, and so also in this series, we've been using imagery as we're talking about Christ coming to earth. John says that the creator of the world came into the world that he had made. He's trying to communicate with the people of this world in terms that they understand. And so John is using terms like life and light, and we're like, yeah, we know what that is. We know what life is. We know what light is. But, you know, our best understanding of these things is like a child compared to his. Or rather, if we believed like a child does, we might understand better. The Jesus, the real Jesus, is the bridge between humanity and our Creator. Last week, we talked about how life is beyond mere existence. And John parallels life and light so that we can understand that life and light and even good are vastly more powerful and substantive than darkness or death or evil. John says, John 1:4-5, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So what is light? Light is energy, electromagnetic radiation, to be specific. We know a lot about light, but to tell you the truth, we're not exactly entirely sure of what all it is. What does light do? Light illuminates. It helps us see and know the world around us. In the universe, light provides a constant by which time and space can be measured. It dispels darkness, which darkness is actually nothing. Darkness is the absence of light. Light nourishes and supports life. Light is also what gives beauty, because it opens our eyes to a whole world of color, which is made possible by light. I guess we don't have a projector tonight. Yeah.
We're praying.
Okay. After John begins his gospel that Jesus is the light coming into the world, he tells us that John the Baptist is not the light, but reflects the light. Let's go to John chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. And this is the first point on your outline, just a three-point outline today. Light reflects the Creator. So after John begins his gospel that Jesus is the light coming into the world, he tells us that John the Baptist is not the light, but he is reflecting the light. John says that John the Baptist bears witness to the light. To bear witness is to give testimony to the truth. It's reflecting the light. You know, you can shine a light. I could have brought a flashlight or a laser pointer up here to demonstrate my point. You can shine a light, but you won't see the light until it hits something that reflects it back. You ever thought about that? Light itself is invisible. It becomes visible when something reflects it or bears witness to it, to use John's language. God created the light as a representation of his goodness. Remember, we're paralleling life and light and goodness, all of which describe the Creator. Let me take you to Genesis 1, verses 3 and 4. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. Now, Augustine, one of the early church fathers, points out that God called the light good. But then he separated the light and the darkness, and he didn't say that the darkness was good. Because only the light is good. The darkness is not good. Light is good, and darkness is just the backdrop against which we see all that is good. God is good because he is the light. When God created the world, when he said, "Let there be light," he was creating from his own substance. He was creating from who he is. Augustine said, and the quote would be up here, "The goodness of creation is the goodness of God." When God created the world, he was showing us his goodness in all that he created. I said last week that we can know something about God just from observing his creation. John the Baptist is created by God and therefore reflects something of his creator. You and I are created by God, and we reflect our creator just by virtue of the fact that we're human. But Jesus is more than a reflection. He is the light that has come into the world. By saying that John the Baptist is not the light, John is also declaring that Jesus is uniquely different. He is the light. Jesus is the light. He's not just a reflection or a representation of God. He is God. And the church affirmed this from the earliest creeds. The Nicene Creed was first formulated in 325 AD, and it continued to be formulated until 381. But this part was one of the first to be written. See if you recognize this. "We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, in one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he was born of the Virgin Mary and became man." Did you get that? God from God. Light from light, created substance from the Creator. This is what we're celebrating at Christmas time, that light came into the world. God became human. The Creator became his creation. And the light that created the world from his own substance came to ignite something of the same in us. Here's the second point. Light makes God's goodness visible. Light makes God's goodness visible. So since John used a lot of imagery in writing his gospel, I thought it would be good to illustrate John's points with some of our own American Christmas imagery. So what would I use to illustrate light? Well, lights, of course, right? First of all, we're in the middle of Hanukkah, which is the festival of lights, which celebrates that the light in the temple was made to burn for 8 days when there was really only enough oil for one day. But who doesn't like to drive around this time of year and see all of the Christmas lights, especially on a cold winter night? In 1880, you know, Thomas Edison had already invented the incandescent light bulb, and he was looking for a way to advertise it. So he strung up a bunch of light bulbs outside of his laboratory to show them off to passerbys. And that was the first string of lights. A couple years later, one of his employees realized that the lights could be used to solve the problem of fires caused by candles on Christmas trees. So he strung 80 red, white, and blue Christmas lights around his Christmas tree, set up in a nice bay window in his home, and he called the local newspaper to cover the brilliant idea. Understandably, the idea took off, especially when several presidents decorated their White House Christmas trees with electric lights. So General Electric bought the patent from Edison and started selling Christmas tree lights to the public. But the Christmas tree lights were expensive, especially since they required professional installation, and KB Electric was not around then, so the people had to figure out how to put these things together. Department stores even suggested that families rent the lights rather than buy them. And today, we still use incandescent bulbs, or now LED bulbs, and Christmas lights have become, well, safer and more affordable. You might remember I said last week that the whole idea of lights on a Christmas tree is attributed to Martin Luther. He was out one evening and he was composing a sermon and he saw the stars shining through the evergreen trees, and he wanted to duplicate that experience by wiring candles to the branches of a tree. And Christmas tree candles then were notorious for causing fires, which is why Edward Johnson, Edison's employee, made the first Christmas tree light bulbs. Well, you know, they still caused fires, so now people could burn down their house more efficiently and with electricity. But the idea is not to burn down the house. The idea is to light up the dark winter nights. And with light bulbs, you can do it bigger, better, and in color. Some neighborhoods even have competitions to see whose house is the brightest or the prettiest. Now you can get computer programs that will control all of your lights, set them to the time to beat the flash with the beat of your favorite tunes. Lighting up your house or your tree becomes a visible sign, a visible expression of holiday cheer. So Tuesday evening this week, there was a bunch of us went around the neighborhood Christmas caroling. You know, the idea is that we're going to walk up to somebody's door, ring the doorbell, and we're going to stand there and we're going to sing a Christmas carol. Problem is, which houses do we go to? How do we know who the grumpy neighbors are? And how do we know who is going to actually be blessed by somebody singing a Christmas carol to them? Well, we had this great idea. Well, the houses that are lit up and are decorated for Christmas, well, they're probably the people that are most likely to want somebody to sing a Christmas carol to them. So that's how we decided who to go to. After all, their lights were a visible expression of their Christmas celebration, and we would just be adding to their joy. It worked out pretty well. We actually had one family say, "Come on back, sing to our kids. Our kids didn't hear you. Come back, sing for our kids." So how would God know who was going to receive him until he came? Let's continue in John chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." God is good. But how are we supposed to know what good is unless someone or something expresses that goodness to us? Did you ever think about this? If God had not created light on the first day, nothing else that God created would have mattered. You wouldn't be able to see it. And it probably would have all died. Everything is made visible by light. And it's sustained by light. Animals, plants, everything to some degree needs light for survival. So how does God show us his goodness? He comes into the world that he created, and how people respond to him shows what we're made of. You ever thought about that? Remember, I shared this verse last week, John 3:17. I'm going to continue through verse 21. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. You know, some people think that God is just up there waiting for them to mess up so that he can judge them. You know, he's just there with a hammer, ready to whack you. But that's a reflection of our own guilty conscience. That's not a reflection of God or of his goodness. What did the verse say? It said God came to save the world, not to judge the world. But when the world judges God, they judge themselves. And they show that they are not made of the same goodness as is God. Judgment happens automatically by how we respond to God. However, the good news is that you have a choice. If you recognize what is happening, you can change the outcome. If you know that you are not good like God, here's the key. Admit it. Admit that the light of God exposes your darkness. And here's the secret. Move toward the light. Move toward the light. When we recognize that we're sinners, our initial reaction is to try to hide. What do? We pretend to be good, right? Oh, nothing wrong with me. I'm just praising the Lord. Or some people go to the other extreme. They're like, forget it. I'm bad to the bone. Just push people away. Either way, whether you pretend to be all good or whether you pretend to be all bad, that's not the truth of who you are. What's the truth? The truth is that God made you good. God made you to be like him. The Bible says he made us in his image and likeness. But it was sin that came into the world that tarnished that image. We're both bad and good. All of us. And we can never be good like God without his intervention. But the truly good news is that he has intervened. Jesus came into the world as light, both to show us what God intended and to redeem us, to buy us back, and to transform us by his own power. God has done everything necessary to restore us to his goodness. Our job then is to let him do it. Just let his light shine on us and in us, and move toward that light. You'll see his goodness and his light reflected in you and through you. Other people will see your light, and they'll think it's you. Wow, you're shining brightly today. And it is you. But it's you bearing witness to the true light. You see how that works? It didn't originate with you. It originated with God, and you're just an extension of his light and his goodness. And they can be an extension too. And that's the third point. Goodness and light increase as they spread. Goodness and light increase as they spread. I'm going to take you to John chapter 14, verses 15 to 17. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." You know, before Jesus came, the Holy Spirit would come upon people at various times and for various purposes to accomplish God's purpose. But after Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit to, guess what? Indwell his followers. Let me take you to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak to each other in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now notice how the fire, the light, divided and rested on each one of them. The light was multiplying and increasing as each of them became an extension of God's goodness and light. So as a Spirit-filled believer, I'm not just reflecting God's light, but I have a source of that light inside of me. We're talking electricity, baby. I mean, it's like a string of lights. Really? Remember how the electric light bulb changed the way we decorate for Christmas? It's that kind of revolutionary transformation that the Holy Spirit is through the church. We're like a string of light bulbs. We're all connected together, and it's his current that's flowing through us that ignites that in us to bring light to the world. And we're ready to set the world on fire faster and more efficiently than ever, as long as we stay connected to one another and to our source. Now, I know that for many believers, you know, we don't always feel the power. The world seems to be getting darker all the time. And if you're watching the news, there's not a whole lot that reflects the goodness of God. In fact, if you're attuned to it, there's much in our world today that is opposed to calling anything good that has to do with God. You know, it's as if people love the darkness and hate the light, just as John says. But when the darkness is the darkest, that's when the light shines the brightest. Remember this from Matthew 5, 14 to 16. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Never underestimate the power of your light. Before electric lights were available to light up the whole house, people decorated with a single candle in each window. You probably didn't know this, but that decoration, a single candle in the window, is more than just a decoration. I found this as I was doing some of my research this week. European Christians used to display a burning candle in the windows of their houses that were visible from the outside. That is, on the windows toward the street. And that candle in the window indicated to other Christians that this was indeed a Christian house. And it was an invitation to other Christians, come inside and worship with us. Did you know that? Reminds me of one time I was in East Germany, really just after the fall of communism, and we were walking through the streets of East Germany. It was dark. I mean, all the churches had been turned into museums and other kinds of places, but we walked by this one house, and we heard people singing inside, and we were like, that sounds like worship music. So we just kind of walked slowly by the window. It's like, yeah, that's worship music, you know? Then we knocked on the door, and in fact, it was some Swedish missionaries that were having a Bible study inside, and they invited us to come in and to worship with them. We did, and it was just a beautiful time. Here we are in a strange city, don't know anybody, and we find other Christians, and we worship with them. That's what the candle in the window was for. We're believers in Jesus. If you're a believer in Jesus, come in and worship with us. So the candle in the window isn't just a decoration, it's an invitation. An invitation to come in and worship. That's the true light that has come into the world. The light's not just there to look pretty. It's there to put us in awe of God's goodness. It's not about entertainment, it's about redemption. The lights are not just a decoration, they're an invitation. Move toward the light. Let it change you until you become light to others. And the darkness will never be greater than the light that is inside of you. So we're going to conclude our service this evening with a candle lighting service. Worship team can come on up a while. I looked this up. This tradition was first practiced by the Moravians in 1847. It became a regular practice in Moravian College to pass around lit candles. They would come around with a tray with the candles already on them and lit, and they would pass them out to the students before returning home for the holidays. And then they would sing a hymn about Christ the morning star, to remind them to take the light of Christ back with them as they returned home. Today, we don't pass them out on a tray. We light each of our candles from the one adjacent to us. And Jason, if you could start on this side, we have a lit candle there. And Carrie, on that side, we have a lit candle there. And just remember that when you light candles, keep the lit candle straight and the unlit candle come to it from the side and light it that way. That way we won't drip wax. And let's light our candles. Let's watch the flame spread and let's hold our lit candles as we sing these songs.